The following message was recorded at New Beginnings Church in Slidell, Louisiana. Please feel free to duplicate and share this message as you feel led. And you are invited to visit us at New Beginnings Church at 330 Robert Boulevard, Slidell, Louisiana, 70458. Our Sunday services start at 10 a.m. and our Wednesday evening services at 7 p.m. If you have any questions, call us at 985-781-4663. And may God richly bless you as you listen to this message.
About the resurrection and why you must believe in the resurrection. Why you must believe in the resurrection. And we're going to study this morning from the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And our text is verses 12 through 14. But it has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we come to you. Father, I just pray that you'd open our understanding this morning, that we might hear what it is that the Spirit of God would say to us this morning here at New Beginnings. That you would speak to us in our innermost man. That we might hear clearly the voice of the Spirit. And that you might teach us and inspire us and challenge us about this awesome, awesome event that we call the resurrection. And Father, we pray these things in the wonderful name of Jesus. And everybody said, Amen. The resurrection is a very focal point of Christianity. The focal point is the thing that draws your eyes and draws your attention. It's the thing that has made Christianity different than any other religion that's ever been dreamed of from the day of Adam to this very day. It's the thing that changed the world. It's the thing that changes our lives, this thing called the resurrection. When I was in seminary, I had one of my seminary professors ask a very profound question one day. And he asked the class, he said, how dead was Jesus when he died on the cross? And one of my very wise fellow students said, he was graveyard dead. And we thought, what? And he said he was dead enough to put in a graveyard. That's pretty dead. See, he didn't swoon, he didn't pass out, he didn't make believe. He was dead as any human being has ever been. Jesus was dead. Now, the resurrection is a fact, and it's not changed by what people believe. There are many people who don't believe in the resurrection. There are many people who believe a lot of stuff. Doesn't make it true. Just because you believe it doesn't make it true. You know the classic example. You don't believe in gravity. Let me throw you out of a plane without a parachute. You'll believe in gravity. Real soon, that thump is you. The resurrection is a fact that cannot be denied. Now, let me tell you what. You are not required to believe in the virgin birth. You're not required to believe that Jesus performed miracles. There are many facts about Jesus that you don't have to believe. Doesn't mean that you shouldn't. Doesn't mean that they're not true. You don't need to believe that Noah was in a boat in a flood. You don't need to believe that Jonah was swallowed by a giant fish. You can choose not to believe it. You don't need to believe that God created the heavens and earth. You don't have to believe that. But you do need to believe the resurrection. You should believe all those other things. I told you not too long ago that I didn't believe the Bible before I became a believer. And one second after I became a believer, I believed everything from Holy Bible to bonded leather. You know, I just believed the whole thing. You know, a guy who was agnostic and an atheist and just a dumb unbeliever suddenly believed everything. Paul said some things very interesting in our text that we just read. He said, if there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. He said that if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. In verse 17, he said, and if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile, and you are still in your sins. See, it's very important for us to believe in the resurrection. You can't be ambivalent about it. You can't say, oh, well, maybe he did and maybe he didn't. I was listening to Jensen Franklin this morning as I was getting dressed. And he was, no, it wasn't Jensen Franklin. It was a guy from, no, it was another guy. Whatever, whoever it was. But he was talking about this, the guy who discovered Jesus' body. In Mary's body in a box, and they found the bones, and they're going to do DNA testing to prove that it was him. Friends, there ain't no body. You can look from now to doomsday. You are not going to find the body of Jesus in a grave or anywhere else. The only place you'll find the body of Jesus is in the church. We are the body of Christ. We're the living body of Christ. Every other, as Wayne just said, every other religious figure is dead and gone. They're gone. Muhammad's dead. Moses is dead. Joseph Smith is dead. Go down the line. They're all dead. We can find their graves, most of them. Or we have witnesses that know that they died or disappeared and they don't know where they are. But Jesus is alive. And your eternity depends on that fact. That's what we just read. Amen? I want us to look at a few reasons why you must believe in the resurrection today. Brother Don, or somebody, I don't see Don back there. I need to kill these monitors up here. I sound like I'm in a big echo chamber. Thank you. I wish I had a switch up here. I could turn them things off myself. It's like singing in the bathtub or something. I don't know. It just sounds really funny to me. Hallelujah. We need to be thinking about that real soon. All right. Moving into our new church. A new church building. Those of you who had new attendees class know that, don't you? Those of you who were there know that. This is just a worship center. The first thing I want to talk about is that Jesus is the first of a new race of people. He's the very first of a new race of people. Let's look at the passage of Scripture out of Corinthians, verses 20 through 22. But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits, I want you to remember that word, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead also comes through a man. Very important. You probably read this a bunch of times. You just glossed right past it. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive. Jesus' earthly birth was not such a big deal and could easily be explained away. I talked to you about that around Easter time. The only person who really, 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 really knew was Mary. She was the only one who knew. Joseph kind of believed her. Other people kind of believed. But she was the only one who really, really knew. Now, when it comes to the resurrection, there were a lot of people who knew. Go read in 1 Corinthians. We're not going to read the whole thing today. But he said that there were many witnesses to the fact. He said the apostles saw him, the disciples saw him, people on the road saw him. And then he said over 500 brethren saw him. And this is my take on it. Forgive me. Don't take offense to what I'm about to say. But if you can convince over 500 Jews that something's true, it's probably true. You know? They were referred to over and over again in the Scriptures being hard-headed and stiff-necked and unbelieving. And they believed it. Now, let me tell you what, friends. People will do a lot of stuff for what they believe. But it's a rare occasion that somebody would die for something that wasn't true. See, they knew. Those first believers knew, and they suffered all kinds of persecution and horrible things and hardships, one after another, after another, after another. And they refused to refute this fact of the resurrection. They kept saying over and over again, "He's alive. We saw it. He's alive. We saw it. He's alive. We saw it." In the book of John, John says that I wrote this in such a way that you would know that the testimony is true, that it's accurate. I like that. That's what the New Living Translation says. That it's an accurate account because I saw him myself. They saw him die and they saw him alive. And it changed their life. It changed the course of history. And it changed your life. They could not deny that fact. Now, you and I believe by faith. We believe by the Spirit of God. God gives us the ability to believe in the resurrection. I've never physically seen the resurrected Jesus. I've had some visions of the Lord, but I haven't seen him like they saw him. They knew because they saw, and they paid a heavy price in what they believed, and they would not change their minds. Now, Adam ushered into the world sin. And when sin came into the world, death came into the world. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Now, here's something I want you to know. Pay attention to me, all right? For some of you, this could be a new thought. We do not go to hell because we're sin. Sin is not the problem. The fact that we are sinners is the problem. There's something wrong with every man born of woman. We have this death sentence on us because we are unbelievers. And because we're unbelievers, we do sinful things. I've told you before, and you parents can testify to this, none of you had to teach your children to be bad. They figured it out themselves, didn't they? Every one of them. You had to teach them to be good. I like that passage of Scripture in Ephesians where it says, "Children, obey your parents that it might be well with you." You know? That you might live long on the earth. Because your parents could take you out at any time. But what we do is we equate behavior as the problem. The problem is not our behavior. It's the evidence of the source of the problem. And the source of the problem is that we are all sons of Adam. And because we're sons of Adam, we have this sin problem. And it needs to be taken care of. And we are unable of ourselves to take care of it. What we do is we put spiritual band-aids on our problem. And our spiritual band-aid is this. Well, I'll just be good. I choose to be good. I will not sin again. And because I do not sin again, God will love me more. What a joke. You can't do it. We try. Say, well, I don't do big sins. Oh, try running that one by the cross. Yeah? I don't do big sins. I'm not as bad as some people. I'm not a Ted Bundy. You know? It's not the behavior that's the problem. It's who we are as sons of Adam. And God saw our plight in our sinful condition, unable to drag ourselves out of that, no matter how good we tried to be. And we all try. We all, usually after we do something really bad, and then we feel really bad about it, and we say, you know, if there's a God, I know I'm in trouble. So we try to clean up our act. Say, I'll never do that again. And then you find yourself doing it again, don't you? What we need is not a behavior pattern change. What we need is a Savior. We need someone to do something about our situation. Because we are descendants of Adam, because we are sinners by nature, we will die. And not so much our physical death is a problem, it's our spiritual death. You see, the equation of the Scriptures is not good behavior versus bad behavior. The equation of the Scripture is death versus life. And we see that in Christ. We see that equation manifest in Christ. Now, Jesus is referred to as the second Adam. Why? Because Adam was the first of a race. He's the first human being. And we are all sons and daughters of Adam. We're all made in the image of God in that respect. Okay? Jesus came along. God saw us in our hopeless estate while we were still in our sins. God demonstrated His love towards us, sent His Son who died on a cross that we might have life. Now, don't get mad at me. Don't get mad at me. The birth of Jesus is not that big a deal. I mean, we celebrate Christmas. Oh, man, everybody celebrates Christmas. Hallelujah, jingle bells, you know. Merry Christmas, all that stuff. Even the ACLU gets mad at us. You can't have that manger station there. You can't, you know. Everybody's worried about Christmas. Forget Christmas. We're not told to remember Christmas. We're told to remember the Christ's passion and what He did for us. It's important that we believe that. Why? Because that's the pinnacle of what takes place in Christianity. His birth doesn't do much for us. But His death and resurrection does everything for us. Because when He came out of the grave, pay attention now, this is important to understand this, or you'll never get it. When He came out of the grave, He came out as a new race. I can't even find the word. Of beings. I would say people, but it's not people. That had never existed before. There were people who were restored to life. Lazarus. Lazarus, come forth! Lazarus came out the grave, all right? One day they buried him again. When Jesus was crucified, said the dead came out of the grave, all right? They walked around, testified. They all went back to the grave again. Jesus is the only one who came out of the grave never to go to the grave again. Now, okay, we get this? George. I think George looks so good today. Don't you love the suit on George? I tell you what, I like it. George, you're a son of Adam. Have you ever sinned? Yes, he said yes. Very quietly, he said yes. Yes, he said yes. He had a sin problem. He's a son of Adam. Because of that, you are condemned to hell. You will die. You will have death. There's no hope for you. But Jesus comes along. He says, George, if you will believe in Me, I will give you eternal life. And the Spirit of God moves into George. And George is now a brand new species that has never existed before Jesus Christ. You are, as you look like Adam, you now spiritually look like Jesus Christ. You have His DNA. You are a different being. Jesus tried to say it this way. He said, you must be born again. You are a new creation in Christ Jesus. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. That's why we're different in Christ. That's why things that didn't bother us before bother us again. Do we do wrong after we become believers? Sure we do. But things are different. It bothers us now. Man, the stuff I did before I got saved didn't bother me a bit. I didn't even care. Because I didn't believe in God. I didn't believe in hell. I didn't believe in anything. Except me. But once I became a believer, and many of you heard the story, the day that I walked out of Jim Hickman's house in 1972 on Tuesday at 1:30 in the afternoon, I remember it very well. I got in my Cadillac automobile. I went and cranked the engine. I felt so good. I said, "GD, I feel great." First time in my life I was ever aware that I used profanity and used God's name that way. And God took it away from me right there. I didn't care before. But something happened. Something changed. What changed? That which was dead had been made alive. Amen. Just as Jesus was dead and was made alive, I was dead and I was made alive. Hallelujah. I now am the possessor of this resurrected life. Jesus said, Pat said it earlier this morning, she said, Jesus is the resurrection. You want to be resurrected? You must have Christ. No other way. I don't care what any religion, whether you're worshiping a stick or you're worshiping whatever it may be, there's only one way to attain eternal life, and that eternal life is in Jesus Christ and in His resurrection. Hallelujah. And what was a throwaway for the grave now has great value. George has great value. Because George has been made alive. Never existed before. See, that doesn't have anything to do with your behavior. We're behavior-oriented people. We like to think we'll be good enough to get to heaven, and we like to think we'll be bad enough to get to hell. The truth is that we must become believers. That's something, that transaction, that event, that resurrection of you must take place in order for you to get into heaven. Now, for those of you who are sitting there saying, "Oh, well, that means I can go do whatever I want to do," I have some words in the Bible for you. And Paul said it this way. God forbid. He slapped himself on the forehead. Why could you believe such a stupid thing? What makes you think that a resurrected person could go do whatever they want to do? You were created in Christ Jesus for good works. Parenthetically, it says in there that if you do bad works, you will pay the penalty. Oh, you won't go to hell, but you'll feel like hell. You'll have remorse. See, you just can't get away with it anymore. I don't know how many people I've talked to over the years who knew the Lord, were born again, redeemed, and went back to the ways of the world. And then they finally wake up one day and realize who they are, and they get back to serving God, and they'll say, "Yeah, the whole time I was in that ballroom, I knew that I didn't belong there, that I was a child of God. I used to witness to people in the ballroom when I was drunk." Boy, that's a great witness. You're not going to win too many people to the Lord that way. But it's about change. It's about death and life. And the sooner we as a group of believers begin to understand that, the faster it'll change the way that we serve God. It's not about our behavior. It's about His behavior. I love what Rick Warren said in his book, The Purpose of His Life, when he started the book off. He said, "It's not about you. It's about Him and what He has done." The evidence that you are a son of Adam is that you die. The evidence that you are a son of Christ, a son of God, is that you have life. And that you have eternal life within you. Only born-again people have eternal life. Well, that's pretty narrow-minded. Amen? It is narrow-minded. Narrow is the way that leads to the Lord. Broad is the way that leads to destruction. Y'all with me? Y'all paying attention? You got it? I can quit. If you got that, I don't have any more to say. But just in case, point number two. See, I usually have 3 points because you can't listen to much more than that. I pared this sermon down. I told Jim, I got so much to say to on Sunday morning. I don't know. I just got to keep ripping things out of it because there's just so much that I can say about this subject because it's so very important. It's crucial to us. All right, number two, your earthly body can't live in heaven. All right, let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 42 through 44. So it will be with the resurrection of the dead. The body that is sown perishable. Everybody say perishable. This thing dying, isn't it? Getting older. Some of us are getting cuter. Me and George. Yeah. But it's perishing. You notice you got more aches and pains and places that you even thought existed or knew existed in your body. It's perishing. It is raised imperishable. It is sown in dishonor. It's talking about an Adamic nature. That's the dishonor of it. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. Listen to this last part of it. If there is a natural body and everybody's got one, anybody here who doesn't have a body, get out of here in the name of Jesus. Everybody's got a body. Can you say that? Everybody's got a body. Everyone's got a body. Yeah, all right. If there is a natural body, there is also a spiritual body.
Hallelujah.
It is just as real, more real than anything else. You are a child of God and you have a spiritual atmosphere and reality to you that transcends any natural thing that we've ever seen. And I've told you this over the years, over and over and over again. One of these days, when you see yourself and everyone else in the glory that God has given to us, you will be astounded. I think we'll all get slain in the spirit just looking at each other. That's who we are in Christ. The only thing you can do with something that dies is bury it. Everyone from Adam to you will be buried. Parenthetically, for those of you who are scholars here, you know that. The rapture is a little bit different thing, you know. We're going to be changed and translated in a moment, you know, twinkling of an eye. Okay, that's all right. But for most people, death shows up. This earthly body is flawed, and sin is killing it. One of my favorite scriptures is the book of Romans, chapter 8. It says, for the law, everybody wants to be under the law. Here's the law. For the law of the Spirit of life has set me free from the law of sin and death. I'm not under that law. I'm not dying. You may put this carcass in a grave, but I'm not dying because I have eternal life. I was born of the Spirit. This decaying flesh is perishable and it will go to the grave. And I have no guarantee of when that's going to be. I was thinking, you know, we were praying last night. Pat and I are going to go on a trip next week and praying for safety. You know, I think, well, Lord, hope I don't get killed out on the interstate. And the thought came to me, what makes you think you'll get out of the driveway? You don't know. Nobody knows. There's no guarantees about that. But this body's going into the grave. But this spiritual body cannot die. Everybody Amen, preacher! Hallelujah! It's good preaching! This spiritual body can't die! You can't kill it! You can't extinguish it! You can't rub it out! You can't get a mob and do anything with it. It is a spiritual body that is in the image of Jesus Christ and it cannot die. I don't know why in Christianity we do this. Why do we look for all the reasons that will make us die after we're believers? Why do we look for all the reasons that make us alive after we're believers? Why do we look at a half-empty glass instead of a half-full glass? I don't know. It's just beyond me, but we do that all the time. Jesus' body was buried. We know it was buried. I mean, the historical record tells us that. That he was buried. They put him in a tomb. They sealed it up. They expected him to be there. Nobody expected him to leave. You know how I know that? They went there the next day looking for him. Well, not the next day, 2 days later, because it was the Sabbath and he wouldn't go on the Sabbath. But they went there ready to put some more burial stuff on him. That's what they planned on doing. Why did they do that? Because what? They thought that he was going to be there. You know why? Dead people don't go anywhere. Where you plant them, they stay. They don't get up and move around. They stay right there. Jesus was dead. Friends, forget this. We've got a mentality. Oh, well, he was God. He was God. He was dead. He was born into this life and he died like every other man and woman who's ever lived on the face of the earth. He was as dead could be. But, oh, hallelujah. Thank you for the but, Lord. But, that spiritual being that did not have the Adamic stain and sin was alive. And I don't know all that went on between the cross and the open tomb, but he was busy. It says that he went and preached to those who were in Abraham's bosom the good news that the life was about to change for those folks. Ooh, hallelujah. It's Sunday. Jesus' body is as dead as it can be, and it's in a grave. Dead. Decaying. Going back to dust. And Jesus went back to that tomb and went into that dead body and gave it life. Raised to new life. No longer just in the image of Adam, but now in the image of God Himself, the resurrected Jesus, manifest in all of His glory and all of His deity, came out of that grave. Listen, the book of Genesis, God created Adam, formed him out of the dust of the earth. You would have looked at him. Looks like Adam. Looks like a human being. Well, he's not doing anything. He's not alive. Watch this. God reached down. Breathed into Adam the breath of life. Adam became a living being. The first Adam. Fast forward several thousand years. Jesus in the tomb. Looked like Jesus. There's the body laid out. But he's not doing anything. The breath of life. Life itself went into that dead body. And Jesus became a new species that never existed before. The resurrected life in the body of an Adamic person who was now redeemed. And he got up out of the tomb. And he walked around. And he did things that no man had ever done before. Why? Because there was no one like Jesus from that until that very day. That which was dead had been made alive. You see, this is what Jesus did. He became sin on the cross. And He took the death penalty that was due to you and me, and He took it upon Himself, the spotless Lamb of God, as Dennis sang earlier, sing the Lamb of God, behold the Lamb on the cross, gave His life willingly. Listen, friends, nobody took Jesus' life from Him. Not the Sanhedrin, not the Romans, not Pilate, not the government, not anyone. Jesus Himself gave His life willingly. He became sin so that you and I, when we believe in what He did, can have our sins removed. And that which was dead has been made alive. Woo! I'm telling you, friends, something awesome happened on the day that you became a believer. You were dead. You were as dead as any man who ever walked the face of the earth. And when you said, Lord Jesus, come into my life, forgive me of my sins, make me new, something so wonderful happened that the writers of the New Testament were unable to explain it properly. And we and our finite minds can't understand all that it is. But I'm telling you, you were dead and you have been made alive. And you're brand new. You're not some junk remade over again. You didn't redo your behavior, but God changed you from a dead person into a living person. That is a resurrection in your life. Living people don't live in a graveyard. When they came looking for Jesus, they said, why do you seek the living among the dead? Let me ask you this question. What are you doing living like a dead person? Why are you doing that? Why are you living in the catacombs? Why are you going to your own graveyard and living in a place of decay and stench and filthiness? When you are a child of God, raised to new life, why do we live that way? That is not God's plan for your life. And today you want to make up your mind to no longer live with the dead, but to live with the living. That's what the gospel message is all about. You want to know why these chairs are not filled? Why we're not blowing the building out of every church in town? Because the believers are living like dead people and nobody wants to live with the dead. If we let the resurrection life of Christ radiate through us, people would come by the countless thousands. People don't come to church because they don't see any life in it. They see a lot of religious rhetoric. They see a lot of religious trappings. But they've seen it in every other church they ever went to and every other religion they've ever seen. But resurrection life will change the whole world. It did it before. It'll do it again today. But the church needs to be alive. Where am I? Whew. Point number three. It's so exciting. Hallelujah. Let me get a drink of water. Your death can't end your eternal life. Let's look at verses 53 through 55. Oh, glory to God. Somebody starts shouting. Woo! We're going to get excited right now. I always use this scripture when I bury people. when I decided to use it on some live ones for a change. For the perishable must close itself with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality. When the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality, then the saying that is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Boy, I'm going to really mess you up now. I'm probably going to get all the theologians are going to probably take me out and draw and quarter me today. You're already raised to heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You're already a resurrected being. God looks at you and He sees the resurrection. We know that when this body is put into the grave, that there will be a bodily resurrection. But I'm talking about right now when God sees you, He sees you as a resurrected being. We're seated with God in heavenly places. Oh, well, Pastor, I don't believe that. Oh, well, just get your razor blade and get the book of Ephesians and start cutting away, baby. Because that's what it said. I didn't make that up. You just don't hear a lot about it. You see, we're looking for the great by and by. Some of the things are going to be better tomorrow, darling. Yeah. You know, tomorrow. Oh, when the resurrection comes, things are going to be better. When Jesus comes back. Why are we living looking to the future? Why don't we live today? This is the only day we got. Why don't we live like the resurrection's already taking place within us? Because as far as God is concerned, it already has happened. You think anybody believes that?
I hope so. It's written right here.
It's written right there, she said. It's true. You don't hear a lot about this. I don't know why. But when we miss it, we're looking for some cataclysmic event to happen before we start enjoying what we already got. Supposing, and I'm not doing it, Judy, supposing I just got $10 million. I don't need it. I just gave it to you. It's yours. Aren't you glad? Don't forget your tithe. We need it for the new church building. She's got $9 million. She used to have 10. She gave $1 million to the church. All right? She's only got $9 million. But Judy doesn't change her life. She keeps driving a car. She's got, how old is she, 4 years old? About 4 years old? She keeps driving it. Five? She's getting older. She could be driving a nice, brand new Ferrari, a red one. Ooh, that'd be nice. Everybody want to go stay by Judy, huh? Can I drive your car, Miss Judy? Yeah. Well, she doesn't do that. She's still driving around. It's a Honda, right? Honda. Honda Accord, yeah. It's the only biblical car in the world in one Accord. Judy doesn't go out and buy us any new $200 pair of shoes. She keeps walking around with a $20 pair of shoes. Yeah. $50 pair of shoes. I don't buy shoes. I don't know. She keeps living the same way, but she's got $9 million. Something wrong with her? Something wrong with her. I got $9 million. Let's start spending that baby. I don't think I can spend it all before I die. Yeah. That wouldn't make any sense. But what should we do spiritually? We're spiritually endowed with all the treasures of heaven, and we live like we're flat broke spiritually. Like we don't have a thing. Well, I don't have much power. Well, the reason you don't have much power is because you never try to use the power that you got. Open up your checking account, get in your Ferrari, and drive that baby. Rich people live like rich people. Redeemed people live like redeemed people. Powerful people live like powerful people. That's who you are. Begin to see yourself that way. Jesus' eternal life went back into His earthly body. He could go anywhere. He wasn't constrained by time or place. He could eat. He could walk. He could talk. He was recognizable. But he was in a new body that could never die. Picture this. Just picture this for a minute. Just listen to me for a minute. Pilate gets word that Jesus is back walking the streets. Pilate, I thought we got rid of that guy. Go get him. Bring him back here. We're going to crucify him again. Bad chance. They ain't never going to happen, pal. Why? Because Jesus can't die. You see that? Nobody could do anything to him, to kill him. Neither can anything, be it a demon from hell or any creature in all of creation, can separate you from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's what Paul said in the book of Romans chapter 8. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor things present, nor things to come, nor angels, nor powers, or any other created thing will ever be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. In other words, baby, you've got eternal life and ain't nothing going to kill you. Thank you, Miss Judy. Hallelujah. Judy's getting excited. She just became a millionaire. Hallelujah. She's been one. She just didn't know she had it in the bag. The ultimate promise of God through Jesus Christ to believers is your sins are forgiven. Remember the story with Jesus? They let the paralytic down through the roof to where he was. He took one look at him and he said, your sins are forgiven. What did he say? How could he do that? He said, that you might know that the Son of Man has the power to forgive sins, rise up, take up your bed, and walk. And he did. To prove to you and I that he had the ability to forgive sins, and our sins were taken upon him at the cross. You are not responsible for your sins any longer. Stop living like you are. I'm just a worm. Just an old sinner saved by grace. Well, gee whiz, let me join your church. That sounds like fun. I want to join the church of the resurrection. Hallelujah, my sins have been washed away. I am cleansed and made whole. That's what happened at the resurrection of Jesus and what happens to you when you become a believer. Amen. You have eternal life. Now! Your spiritual bank account is filled now. You are born again now. Not tomorrow, but now. And your body will be raised from the grave. If we bury you, you're not staying there. You know why? Woo! Hallelujah! Because dead things stay where you put them. Live things keep moving around. And one day when the eastern skies break and the Lord Jesus comes back with the sound of the trump of the archangel and he'll blow the horn, and when he blows it, all those who are dead in Christ, as Paul said, who sleep in Christ, will be resurrected out of the grave and we will meet the Lord in the air. That is going to happen, friends, to you if you're a believer. That's the resurrection. Listen to me. The most important thing in creation is not that Jesus was raised from the dead. That's not the most important thing. The most important thing is that you are raised from the dead. And it's possible because of what He did. We are born again, a new creature that never existed before. That's who you are in Christ Jesus. Praise God. Hallelujah. Quentin, you're a new person, buddy. You're something brand new that never existed before. There's life in Quentin. You might go, oh, he's just like any other guy I know. No! He's new in Christ Jesus. You can't kill him. You can put his body in the grave and he won't stay there. Because he is born again of the Spirit of God. And he has life in him that cannot be extinguished. A smoldering lamp he will not extinguish. A broken reed he will not break. That is telling us, though we live in a frail world, and though our earthly bodies are perishing, and though we disappoint ourselves in God and our family and everyone else, inside of you is the ember of life that cannot be extinguished and it can never die. That is the resurrected life within you. Now, I got to tell you something. You can choose not to believe that. You can choose to not believe that. But let me tell you what. If you choose not to believe it, you'll live like a dead man the rest of your life. But if you choose to believe that, you will live in a new way that you never dreamed possible before. It'll change the way you think about yourself, about other believers, about the life we have, the things that God has called you to do, the work that we do, it'll make you different because you are. Amen? That's the story of the resurrection. Let's all stand. You must believe the gospel that Jesus lived, and the gospel that Paul preached. Verses 3 and 4, chapter 15, Paul said this. For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance. This is important. Of first importance. That Christ died for our sins. How dead was he? Dead enough to bury. He died for our sins. According to the Scriptures foretold that it would happen. That he was buried. What do you do with dead things? You bury them. Jesus was as buried as a person could ever be. That he was raised on the third day, according to the Scriptures. How did he do that? He did it because he possessed eternal life. And that eternal life went into that shell of a body and brought it out of the grave. That's who you are in Christ Jesus. Let me ask you something. Do you know Jesus is your Savior? Do you have the life that I'm talking about? Or do you have some kind of religion? You know? Do you just have some kind of something that you're not even sure about? Man, if you die right now, what's going to happen to you? Are you going to be dead for all eternity? Or do you have resurrection life within you? The only way you get resurrection life is through Jesus Christ. He is the resurrection. And you get it by asking Him into your life, inviting Him in, and saying, Lord, come into my life. Forgive me of my sin. I can believe that Jesus lived and died and rose from the dead. And I give you my today and all my tomorrows. And I trust you to take care of me today, through this life, and through all eternity. That's what you need to get eternal life. Are you here today? Maybe you never did that. Are you serving Him today? Are you really serving Him? Or are you serving the world? Serving your own fleshly pleasures. Your own fleshly desires. Are you serving Him? Some of you have been given awesome ability and talent from God. And you are not using that awesome ability and talent from God. And let me tell you what. That ain't right. I believe God will take your talent and your ability away from you if you don't use it for the Lord. I believe He'll bankrupt you in that respect. until you finally get to the place where you're willing to serve Him. Stop serving the world. Stop living among the dead and come live among the living. Are you following His plan for your life? That's the question I have for you. Since I don't know everybody in this room, and maybe for some of you, this is the first time you've ever really heard the real gospel. You've heard a lot of sermons, but you never heard the real gospel like you heard it tonight, today. I want to invite you to pray with me. Not some religious rhetoric, but a real prayer. In the book of Romans, it says, if you will confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord. That word confess is not telling somebody something they don't know. But agreeing with God that Jesus is Lord. That He is the resurrected Lord. If you will confess it with your mouth. And if you will believe it in your heart. You see, we can say words that don't have any meaning. But if we mean it deep inside. And you're tired of where you are and you want to do something different. You really want to have this resurrected life. If you believe it in your heart. It says that you will be saved. You will be saved. You will be born again. And I want to lead you in a prayer to do just that. I want everyone to pray with me. Pray out loud. Heavenly Father, I believe in You. I believe that Jesus lived. That He died. That He was buried. And that He rose from the dead. I really don't understand it all. But as best I can, right now, I ask You, Jesus, to come into my life. I ask You to give me eternal life. I ask You to change me from the old person of death to a new person of life. Right now, I invite You in. Let this be the day of my salvation. In Christ's name. Amen. If you prayed that prayer, maybe for the first time, I want to invite you to come down here with me, all right? Maybe if you just prayed it and maybe you've just been far away. Maybe you've been living in the catacombs and you want to make a change. I invite you to come down here. I want to pray with you. I love this old song. There's room for you at the cross. Anyone at all. Say, for me and my house, today, we're going to serve the Lord. Anyone at all. Hallelujah.
There's room at the cross for you. Though millions have come, there's still room for one. Yes, there's room at the cross for you.
I know that it's in every service like this, after which somebody's going to come up to me and say, I'm just scared to go on down there. But I really did make a change. Come tell me. Come tell me. And if it meant something to you to hear the real resurrection story, just live it. Okay? Just live it today and every day of your life from now on. And when you doubt yourself and you doubt where you are, I want you to remember who you are. That which was dead has been made alive in Christ Jesus. You're dismissed in the name of the Lord.